Hey, hey.
Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
What's going on, peoples? Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to the Who Got Next podcast. I am your host, E-Dub. Had to take a little break, you know. Sometimes you got to rejuvenate. You got to recharge the battery. But I do want to appreciate everybody, you know, for sticking around with me, listening to what I'm bringing to the table, the guests that I have. I do appreciate every single one of the guests that comes on to the Who Got Next podcast for volumes 1 through 6. And now we're moving on to volume 7. New season. I think I got some dope individuals coming up here, man. And I really, really hope you all enjoy it. And I do, again, appreciate you all being patient with me from taking a break, man. Just life. You know, life, sometimes you got to sit back. You got to figure out what your next steps are going to be. You know, how you can improve on things and just make it better. And, you know, I ain't trying to preach, but that's what it is. So I hope you all take that note with whatever you all have going on in life. Sometimes just take a step back. Figure out what you want to do and reset that battery. But again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This week, man, we starting out with an individual that I had an opportunity to really pay attention to, man. I've been noticing his work with what he had been doing in Charlotte. We are talking with Eugene Baxter.
Bennett.
Bennett. My bad, man. Bennett. I put back. You know why I put Baxter up here? I apologize. My man last name is Baxter.
Oh, okay.
Earlier.
Okay.
And I put that, I think I, again, my apologies. Eugene Bennett, and I knew that. Eugene Bennett, he is the owner and founder of Shaded Media, LLC. It is a Charlotte-based film and photography production company here in the city. I do a lot of things, man. So let's start. First of all, appreciate you joining me, brother.
Happy to be here, man. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What I'd like to ask everybody now, since this is a new normal,
right?
How has the pandemic treated you?
Honestly, man, the pandemic is kind of helped me. Be honest,
okay.
Because it's bred a lot of new entrepreneurs, a lot of new people trying to start new things. Especially seeing that, you know, it's kind of put some people out of work, so it's made a lot of people grind and try to find their new way in this new normal. So with that, a lot of people have come to me to kind of get those quality visuals, whether it be business, media, video, photos, things like that. So I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of people, kind of finding their way in this new normal. So it's actually been great for me.
For real. What do you think, again, a lot of people have started businesses. What do you think probably is some of the disadvantage, not say disadvantages, but some of the downfalls of trying to move forward with that? Of course, again, everybody, a lot of people started a business, but what do you think new business, people with new business endeavors, what do you think some of the things that they have to think about now that the outside world is starting to open back up just a little bit?
Yeah, well, before you even get to that, man, you got to have that strong backing. If you're going full-time with entrepreneurship, no cord, no safety net, got to have strong backing. You got to have, you know, some kind of savings set up. You just need a backup plan. You can't just jump out there. I'm all for taking risks, but you got to be smart with it.
You got to be calculated at times.
Absolutely. So, you know, with the world opening back up, man, one thing that I tell people is, like, now everybody is accessible. So before, it was kind of like a survival of the fittest. Because you had to be bold to kind of go out there and still do your thing in the midst of a pandemic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Me being somebody that was going out, interacting people when we still didn't know much about COVID. We were, you know, mind you, being safe as much as we could at the time, as far as, you know, with the knowledge given. So now, you know, we're starting to get kind of back to where we were. We're still not 100% there, but things are opening back up. So now more people within your field are going to be accessible. So maybe some of the people that you've gathered as far as clientele, maybe they're going back to some of their old connects that they used to work with in your field. So the competition is becoming more thick than it was before because everybody's back to it. So I would just say you just got to be resolute in what you're doing and stick at it because, I mean, this is what it would have been like anyway had there been no pandemic.
Exactly.
It's going to be more competition, so you just got to stick to your guns.
So it's Shaded Media LLC.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start it?
So officially, as far as the LLC, it's been incorporated for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
But in practice, 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Are you locally from Charlotte?
I'm from Philadelphia.
Philly?
Philly, yeah.
Some of my friends that was down here this weekend from Philly.
Yeah, yeah. North Philly.
All right, that's what's up, North Philly. So how was it like growing? So you've been down here. So how long have you been in Charlotte?
So I've been in Charlotte 11 years. Okay. I moved from Philly to Wilmington when I was young.
Port City?
Yeah, Port City. Went to school, high school, graduated. Went to Laney, Jordan School.
Hi, that's my homie. We'll talk.
That's my
alma mater.
Went there, moved up here in 2011. Pretty much when I moved here, man, that's when I kind of started finding my road as far as like my second act.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because you have that first act when you get out of school or things you're doing when you're mm-hmm. towards you're getting ready to graduate into college and stuff like that. I started a completely new act when I moved here, which mm-hmm. was still on the creative side. I've always been a creative, but moved towards photography and then later into videography and then into film.
Now, was that something that you had linked that you wanted to do when you moved to Charlotte? Was that on your mind to stay?
No idea. I had no idea I would even be going there. I didn't even own a camera. See, what started it was I still have a clothing brand, and I just needed photos for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started taking photos of, people in the clothes for the website and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, these photos look all right, man. I kind of got an eye.
This
looks all right. And that just led to me taking more travel photos, because me and my girlfriend at the time, we were traveling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Taking travel photos, man. I went and bought a camera, and I'm like, man, I can, like, let me just charge some people and just see, you know, what I can get out of this. And, mm-hmm. you know, that just led to me doing a lot of trial and error, completely self-taught,
mm-hmm.
Learning the game, and then create my own look and my own style, and, you know, that's where I'm at now.
Let me ask you a question about that. So yeah. I want to say a lot of photographers are self-taught. You know, mm-hmm. it is just born out of probably just a hustle, you know, and a necessity with it. So do you feel you probably were better off with a self-teaching versus, you know, having that type of technical training?
Speaking with some people that have been through photo photography school and film school, so the two are very different, right? So mm-hmm. I think there's a benefit to photography school, for one. There's just certain things that you learn early in the game that can only benefit you. And it opens you up to the industry. Like, there's just so many nooks and crannies with photography as far mm-hmm. as, like, you know, camera settings, learning what goes with what and things like that. On the film side, however, is very different. Most people that have gone to film school say you don't need film school to get into the business. Photography, on the other hand, they look for those credentials in a lot of cases. If you're looking to get in some of these higher positions amongst mm-hmm. businesses and stuff like that, they look for those degrees and stuff like that. You can still do freelance and mm-hmm. make great money. But on the film side, you create something dope and you didn't go to film school, what are you going to say? Oh, you need a degree. But your film is dope, but you need a degree. No, it's not like that. So most people that have been to film school say you can create a great film and still get into the industry without going to film school.
And which is crazy is, to me, that kind of sounds backwards. Because
it is backwards, yeah.
Because my thing is, if I'm in a corporation and I'm looking through magazines or I'm going down the street and I see this billboard, hell, IG, and I'm the first thing I'm going to say is, who is this?
Yeah.
No different from I'm opening up a magazine, I see Getty Images. Mm-hmm. Getty Images is everywhere. You know? And I'm like, okay, who is this particular photographer?
Yep.
Care what school you go to, but that's where we live in.
Mm-hmm. Credentials, man.
The world we live in right now, man. So you talked about, you know, kind of looking at, paid attention to the on-scene sessions.
Right.
The one that you had did with Paige. Shout out to Paige for NC on scene. But that was her first time doing it. But I was listening to your conversation in particular. One of the things that you did speak on, which is what I noticed about a saturated market,
mm-hmm.
and with photographers. So what do you think photographers need to do to actually stand out? Because everybody has a camera now.
Right.
You know, so what do you think? I guess one thing I can say is what do you feel you did with Shaded Media
mm-hmm.
to stand out, and what do you think others need to do as well to try to get their foot in the door with whatever they're trying to do with, you know, with the camera?
I think people should focus on creating their own look. That's what I did. And I didn't really focus on trying to do everything or be great at everything.
Right.
Some people are great at real estate photography. Some people are great at portraits. Some people are great at sports photography. All of these things require different things, different types of cameras, different lenses. They all have different workflows to editing the photos.
Right.
I personally focused on portraits. I did a lot of like car stuff, you know, automotive stuff early on. I don't really do it anymore. But I focused on portraits, which, you know, a lot of people tend to focus on that. So even within that, I focused on my look, which is what I feel sets me apart. But I think that's what will do it for most people, is you create a look and you'll draw people in because they'll come to you for that look.
Exactly. So you say you do, so you do photos, you do, you have done videos, and now, you know, now you're building into content overall. What do you enjoy most?
Film, to be honest with you. So there's kind of two sides to Shaded Media as a, just as a business and operation. So you have one side where I do business media for entrepreneurs, for companies, whether that's, you know, promotional video, business photos, stuff like that. Then there's the side, which I call my passion side, right? So that's where, you know, I do short films. I do the on-scene sessions thing is something me and Paige came up with, where she wanted a way to be able to speak with creatives, but she didn't want it to just be, okay, let's just record, or let's get, let's do a video where we're just sitting together. She wanted it to be something different, especially for her, right? And, you know, we came up with that. I had always wanted to try to do something kind of in a talk show format, two-camera setup. So, you know, you have that side of things where I can just run wild with experimenting, with creativity, and, you know, I have a ton of things that I want to do, man. But, of course, you know, time is, you know, it's only 24 hours in a day.
Right.
And you got bills. So I always put, you know, my client work is always the priority. But yeah, those are like my two sides, man. I got my business side, which is like the bill paying side, and the creative side, which is going to bring me those clients. This is the stuff that, you know, I don't get paid to do, but people see it and they're like, wow, I want him to do something for me.
And I want to give you a little bit of respect on that too, because again, I went through your Google, I went to the Google reviews. And when you look at a lot of, number one, you don't see a lot of photographers or anybody really actually go, I don't think they really ask clients do a review.
Right.
At least that, not that I know of, because I'll go through some and I'll see a photographer and I just go for my own personal preference. I mean, I like to go word of mouth and what I think I see and I think it's dope, you know, dope for me. But, you know, sometimes I go through the reviews and I just happen to go through yours and, man, you got a perfect rate. you know, a perfect.
God willing, hopefully it stays like that.
I believe it will, because, you know, it wasn't like one or two reviews. You had a lot of reviews. And one thing, you know, they kind of mentioned about you, you know, you was professional, you was prompt. Yeah, we did talk about prompt earlier.
Yeah, we did.
You prompt. And, you know, and another thing that really stuck out to me is about making a vision come alive. How important is it to you? For, I know you're creative and you want to make sure that you're letting your mental run wild with whatever they're giving you, but how important is it to you for a client to really lay out exactly what it is they want to do?
It helps, but to be honest, in most cases, a client will come to me with a skeleton and I fill it in. I put the meat on the bones for the most part. And this is mostly with video. I think with photos, it's a little bit easier for the client to say, hey, I want to take a photo like this at this spot. Video, on the other hand, is so broad. It's like, man, I have this that I want to do a video for, but I don't know how to convey it. Somebody can come to me with that, and, you know, I'll spend some time in pre-production, and I'll come up with a whole treatment for them, and it's like, yo, what do you think of this? And they're like, I didn't even think to do something like this. So that's part of, like, the experience when a client hires me to do something for them. I put a lot into pre-production, which is, you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but this is what makes a cinematographer different from a videographer. There's a clear distinction. And, you know, some people will just say videographer because I have a camera, but there's a lot of
elements to it.
Clear distinction between the two, and the biggest one is pre-production.
You mentioned the word cinematography. I'm a huge advocate of it. You know, I'm kind of like what you said on the video. I don't look at TV the same.
I can't look at TV the same.
It's impossible. It's no different from when, you know, you watch football, but then you play fantasy football, right, and you just look at it totally different. So I feel the same way about cinematography, because to me it's all about the detail and about the look, but also the cinematography. This is my own personal opinion.
Okay.
The cinematography also conveys the storyline.
Absolutely.
You know, I like to see if it's, if this storyline is going to be dark, I need those gritty, dark
images. It needs to look dark.
It needs to look.
Not in the literal sense, yeah, but in a feeling as well.
I got to feel it. I got to feel it to be dark with the cinematography. So when you're doing your stuff, you knowing that you pride yourself in detail, is that always what you're trying to, that's what you always trying to shoot for, is that cinematography look?
Absolutely. So whenever I'm coming up with a treatment for a client, I send them a treatment. I'm sending them a mood board. I'm sending them visual aids of the look that I'm going to come up with them, as well as a description. So, you know, part of cinematography, man, is the lighting of the scene, the color grade of the scene, the lens I'm going to use, where I'm going to place the actors or the subjects in the scene. And, you know, that's just one of the things that I feel makes it the biggest difference from videography. You know, videography is capturing the scene as you see it. When you get there, me showing up to a pop-up, that's videography. Me recording a wedding, that's videography. Shooting a short film, you can't just show up and shoot a short. You can, but
you're not going to get the look that you're looking for.
It's not going to be the same. So yeah, man, I just love that process of creating and putting those pieces together on paper, and then seeing it come to life. It's just like, wow, because I saw it from the very beginning.
And with that, you was able to, you started a series called The Fall Off.
Yes.
I happened to look at the first episode.
Okay.
Hey, man. Again, I'm very, like I said, I'm glad I'm talking to you. So I'm just in awe of that. I'm just in awe of that. Number one, because, you know, you're local and I'm talking to you. But again, you're saying everything that I'm expecting you to say, because I can see it in your work. I can see it in your work.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it and I'm looking at the credits. Written and directed by Eugene. Casting. Eugene.
Yeah. I caught some flack for that.
Man, no. Look. Man, toot your own horn. So, and then music curated. I said, even this motherfucker and everything. I mean, you're not going to catch no flack from me, man. Is Fall Off your baby?
Yes.
Okay, exactly. I want to start with that first. Okay, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It's your baby. Why are you not going to flex? Why are you? What I mean by flex is not just about in an arrogant sense, with your name showing that this is the work that I've done. So how do you feel with that? Because I want you to get a story. You say you caught some flack, but how do you feel about it?
About the Fall Off as a whole, or
both? Let me rephrase that.
Okay,
how did you come up with the Fall Off?
So I was going through some things. This was end of 2019, I believe. Right, I had just lost my grandmother. Was like, man, I'm going to just start. I always wanted to dip into the cinema side. So that was like my first cinematic spec piece, was The Fall Off.
Right.
And I was like, man, I know she would always tell me to just do it. Just do what I wanted to do, because I've been procrastinating for so long of wanting to do something like that. So, you know, I was working at Red Bull at the time, man. I'm working 12-hour shifts, long days. So in between stops, you know, I'm just writing the script in my notes, right, in my phone. And every character, man, is kind of based loosely off the person that played it. So, you know, the character Jason Hill, my guy Terrence Green played him. He actually used to play football, and he did have a career-ending injury. So I just kind of looked at these things because, you know, a lot of these guys weren't actors. We were having fun with it. But the fact that I was able to make the character closely relate to them, they could kind of tap into that real experience.
Right.
And it would make it a little bit more real for them. So, yeah, man, it was really a spec piece that I wanted to try my hand at, to kind of like, okay, I'm going to challenge myself and see if I could do this. And then once I do this, I can build off of that.
Man, it was very good, man. Just looking at the first show, I'm going to go back and check out the other stuff.
So Rise to Royalty was the one I did after that. It's so huge of a leap in quality. I was just speaking with my guy, Warren, who plays Dame. About it, and I was just like, man, the leap in quality between the two, because like I said, I did the first one And then I immediately went into like the lab to learn, okay, what do I need to do to make this mm-hmm. look like this and this and this and this?
Right.
Bought all the equipment I needed. So like when you see the Rise to Royalty and it's like, yo, this looks ridiculous compared. Like the first one is great because it's like that's where it started, but I can't watch it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because like
you're going to critique it too much.
Yeah. So like I look at it for nostalgic reasons, like, yo, this is where it started. You know, I love it. And you know, I love everybody that did it because we did it with no budget mm-hmm. and we did it with all heart and, you know what I'm saying, all heart and just inner will. And we did it.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at pretty much everything from Rise to Royalty on, it just looks like something you would see on TV. I'm super proud of like where we ended up at.
Hey man, congratulations on that. Cause like I said, when I was watching it, I liked how you set up the credits. I like how they rolled, and it put me in like, okay, I'm watching Netflix. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what you want out of a TV show. You don't want no bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Cause we've seen some bullshit, man. And mm-hmm. I don't know if they just were rushing it or maybe they think it's dope. I don't know. But I like the fact that you know, you take your time and it looks like you are a student, you know, a student of the game. Who are some of your, I know it's a cliche question, but mm-hmm. I'm curious as somebody who's into film, who are some of your influences?
First I'd say Morgan Cooper. He's sure. a black cinematographer, director. He's actually, and I'm sure you've probably seen this, if you've seen the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot that's supposed to be coming out.
Right.
He's the director behind that. He created the trailer that Will Smith saw and said, hey, we need to do this.
Gotcha.
Super dope. I've been following his work for a while. As far as like the more known directors mm-hmm. in the business, I like Christopher Nolan.
Love him.
You know, Dark Knight series.
That's the dark shit I was telling you about. Yeah. Like, I like that. I like that dark thing, the dark on top.
I love the way he shoots all of his movies. He does all of his stuff for the most part in camera. He doesn't use a lot of special effects. He tries to do everything for real in the camera. And I respect that so much because I know what it takes to do that. So, yeah.
He nuts.
He's crazy.
He nuts because I say he nuts is because Inception.
Mm-hmm.
I swear me and my friends still argue about the ending.
Mm-hmm.
I said, nah, man. He said, it's not old. He's still in Inception.
He's still
I'm
in
like,
a dream. I think he's still in
a
dream.
I think he's still in a dream now. Now that I look back at it, I think he's in a dream. But mm-hmm. I wasn't saying that at first.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, nah, it's over with. Mm-hmm. Those are his kids. They were like, nah, he's in mm-hmm. that dream, man. Mm-hmm. I said, we'll never know because he's never going to tell us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
have you seen Tenet?
I have. Yeah. I got to go back and watch it again, though.
Tenet, you have to watch it.
I watched it on my way to Mexico.
Okay.
And I looked at it. I said, man, I can't. I'm not getting the.
It's
I'm not
so
getting
complex.
The feel. So I said,
yeah.
I watched it on my way back.
Mm-hmm.
I got to watch this at home.
Yeah.
Cause it's Nolan.
It's just like Inception in the sense that you have to pay attention,
mm-hmm.
and you might have to watch it a few times.
For the look, who's another videos?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like in a video? How old are you, mind me asking? How old are you?
I just turned 37 on 29th.
Okay, you ain't that far from behind me. So you really grew up in that. You grew up in that video age.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are some of your favorite video directors?
As far as music videos,
yeah.
Man, you know what? A lot of the ones that we grew up watching back when it was like $2 million budget videos, a lot of those guys don't really do it anymore.
Mm-mm.
So you'd be surprised. There's guys like me doing a lot of this stuff now, and like a lot of the artists, man, they just have those guys on their team, and
they have gotten great at it.
They have a guy like myself, and they work specifically with that artist, and they have a consistent look. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't really say any specific ones because, like, you know, I don't watch too many music videos like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say a lot of Freddie Gibbs' recent videos, a lot of Royce da 5'9"'s recent videos, like mm-hmm. they just have a real organic look to them. And a lot of Royce's stuff is real cinematic as well. You can tell that it's shot a certain way. I can look at it and tell, say, okay, he shot that at 24 frames a second.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, okay, this guy shot this at 30 because it's a little too smooth. You know, stuff like that, you know, I get a kick out of looking at videos and trying to figure out the details.
That's where I found my love at. I want to say, like I said, just being a big music nerd,
mm-hmm.
Watching Rap City a lot, Video Soul, and MTV of that nature, you know, certain video directors is really what tuned me into watching it, you know.
Yeah.
But I watched them for totally different reasons, each director.
Right.
I knew what I was going to get with Hype Williams.
Exactly.
I know I'm going to get the fisheye lens.
Mm-hmm. Bright
you know,
lights.
I'm going to get bright lights. Fish Island
sparkles
with that. Little eggs. I know the I don't want to say monotone, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But it's kind of monotone, and you already know you're going to get the split screen.
Right.
I love that shit. Don't,
yeah.
If you looked at my promo, I did that. I did that. I love that. I kind of made him mix a little bit of Little Eggs and a little bit of Hype Williams. Yeah. That's just my, you know, what I love.
That's dope. That's dope.
Dave Myers. I love Dave Myers mm-hmm. from his, you know, Paul Hunter. Like, all of these guys. Chris Robinson, too.
Yeah.
So, I love all of that. And like you said, none of them really doing it no more. You know, they moving into to features. Like I said, I still think Hype Williams had one of the best.
Yeah, man.
Intros of Belly of all time.
Love it, man.
You can. I tell people know me. They say, "Hey, man, gotta give me a slow mo, yo." Yeah, like I just love the slow mo look, man.
They say slow mo makes everything look better.
It does. I believe it. I don't care what you're doing. You could be in there cooking grits. Like to me, just the slow mo is like anyone that know me. Like we was doing stuff. Everyone that slow mo, I look over there, start smiling. I say, "Yep, if you can make that slow mo happen," I say, "Yo,
it's a dramatic effect. That's what it is.
It don't even be dramatic at all. Like I just like, I don't care what I'm doing. I just want a fucking slow mo, man.
Think about the Dave Chappelle skit where he slow moed everything.
Yep,
yeah, that's what it is. That describes it perfectly, man.
That's exactly what it is, man. So let's also talk. So let's talk about what do you think your best skill set is in the field?
So in terms of photography, man, I would say it's creating on the fly. As much as I love pre-production, well, specifically photography, I like getting to an area and, okay, boom, let's see what we get. Because you're forced to create with what you have, and that's when you get the most creative.
Right.
Versus, okay, I know I'm going to be in the studio. I know it's just a white background. Let's go ahead and do our thing. Versus me walking around a spot, we get to this alley, and it's like, wow, this looks crazy from this angle. Mm-hmm. You know, wasn't expecting that.
Right.
On the video side, man, I think pre-production, man. I think my pre-production is actually shocking to a lot of the people I work with because they're not expecting that at this level, I'd say. Because I'm not huge yet. And I say yet because I feel myself.
You got to manifest that. You got to put that in the universe.
But I think a lot of the businesses and a lot of the artists I work with for music videos and stuff like that, they're not expecting the treatments I get them to be that professional.
Right.
They're not expecting the pre-production to be as thorough as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I just try to set the tone, man. So when they think about that in a nutshell, as far as production companies, they know what they're going to get from me versus what they're going to get from somebody
right.
else.
Are you mad reluctant about stepping out in front of the camera?
In terms of video, it depends because Paige had to do, she didn't have to do a lot to get me on C Sessions because I don't really I'm just not in front of the camera much.
You probably would have did that for nobody else, but it took Paige
exactly,
to get that out of you.
Exactly. We have a rapport. We have a great business relationship. That was her first one. We came up with it. I was like, cool, I'll do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Something like that. But I guess it would just depend, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would actually, like on the photo side, be a model or anything like that.
I just asked that question because I know how it is. I think I don't like to insert myself, but I just want to kind of relate. You know, I guess kind of relate to that standpoint because I'm a firm believer of the work.
Right.
You know, I always like the work to speak for itself before I do anything. I'm not big on loading or launching.
Let it drop.
I kind of cringe on that.
Yeah.
And I don't knock nobody else for doing it, but for me personally, I cringe on it because. If I'm going to launch something, I like to do it creatively.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm big on product placement. I'm big on the nuances of things. I want you to kind of think, what the hell is? You know, you look at like a lot of Jay-Z stuff. Like when Jay-Z was dropping 444, he didn't say shit.
Mm-hmm.
But something was up and you just could not understand you just couldn't understand what it was until you finally realized what it was. I'm just big on that. I'm just big on letting the word speak for itself. I think a lot of times when people are starting out just with anything, I'm noticing that with podcasting, I'm noticing that with videos and things like that, everything to our website, it just turns into a huge thing. And I'm just always like, look, I'm not no expert, but if you're asking me, man, just let the work speak for itself, man. I'm big on content. I feel, you know, when I started out with the Who Got Next podcast, I had a goal. I was like, I got 50 people on my list I want to talk to. And luckily for me, I knew a lot of them and it wasn't no pressure to get them get them on, but that's what it was about to me. I ain't about all the other stuff, man. I just want to get the content out because the content to me was what speaks for itself.
Absolutely.
I just think a lot of times Charlotte. You see a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, let me launch, get ready. And then when it doesn't work out the way you want to, you know, you don't.
That'll put you in a space you don't want to be in.
Right. Because you look like a failure. They may feel like a failure. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in being a failure.
Right.
You know, but I do believe in that you will fail.
Yeah.
You know, so how are you going to come back from that?
Right.
You know, that's how I feel.
Right. And I think it's a lot of the social media aspect, the attention, trying to bubble interest, things like that. You know, social media is a big contributor to a lot of that, man. You know, I've kind of been on the side of letting the work speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just like dropping my stuff and seeing the organic response because I feel like the people that are looking for my content mm-hmm. will find it.
Right.
So that's how I've been operating.
And some of the people that you have worked with, we just kind of like a six degrees of separation.
Yeah.
I had the privilege of talking with the brothers of Ascended Apparel.
Mm-hmm.
That honestly, that's exactly where that's where I noticed the name first. Right. And from then on, I just started kind of looking. I'm like, oh, dang, that's my homie right there. I said, he did work with them. Then I had went back and noticed that you had did work for two of my classmates. I went to Federal State.
Okay.
LaMisha and Joseph, AKA Hot Sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
So all the work that you did there, man. Mm-hmm. So I just like stuff. I just love stuff like that, man. How do you like building those relationships with people? You know, when it goes to those type of things, like with Ascend Apparel, the NC On Scene pop ups, and hell, just the work with the weddings. How does all that work together with you?
To be honest, man, all of that stuff was word of mouth and was organic. This is before, you know, Shaded was a corporation, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started paying ad dollars and stuff like that. This was a word of mouth thing. I was still working a 9-to-5, but every client I got was organic because they had seen the work first.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm always big on the work speaking for itself, because that's what got me started and that's what made me be consistent.
Right.
My man Salim from Ascend Apparel, me and him actually used to work together.
Oh.
At Coca-Cola, man. So I had known him way beforehand. And we spent some time. And like, I remember when I was working at Red Bull, man, we were in the back room of a Harris Teeter. He was like, man, I'm going to get this shoe company started. This is, you know, I got the Arise on right now.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, man, I'm going to launch this soon, man. And I was like, yeah, give me a year, man. I'm going to be doing this full time, talking about, you know, media.
Right.
And we both spoke it into existence. You know what I'm saying? He dropped the shoe. They're on their second shoe now. I think they got a third one getting ready to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing this full time, but I think it's dope when it's organic because it's almost like I don't really have to sell it to you. You've seen it. The person you've heard it from, like, you know them personally, and they've seen the work or they've experienced the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best promotion you can get is from somebody that's worked with you before.
Yeah. With Charlotte, I like to always kind of have this conversation with everybody because we all see things differently. As far as Charlotte goes with the changings of Charlotte, how do you feel about the art scene here when it comes to photography and things like that? When I'm looking in Charlotte, what I don't want to have happen, and I could kind of see it doing that, you know, when I'm looking at, especially I'm going to talk from the photographer's standpoint.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of photographers here, but I think a lot of photographers are also running out of space.
Yeah.
To create.
Okay.
When you're looking at, you know, you go to Camp North End. Oh, man. Everybody go to Camp North End. You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
That's Camp North End. So what do you think, Charlotte? I want to ask you, this is your personal opinion. What do you think Charlotte needs to do to try to make that? You know, I think when you look at Miami, you got Wynwood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably in other areas, you got different things. What do you think Charlotte needs to do to try to step outside of Camp North End? Because people are finding that. It's not that they just set it up saying, you can take pictures. But what do you think Charlotte needs to do to try to get those spaces?
I don't think it's up to Charlotte. I think it's up to the creators to be creative, to get out here and find spaces. Because, I mean, early in the game, you know, before Camp North End was Camp North End,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would go out there and I was like, okay, this space is kind of cool. We got, you know, the hangar look.
Mm-hmm.
This is dope. You know, I've done photos and video out there. And then once they started opening it up and adding the shops and more people started coming out there, that's when it became saturated. And I kind of like, okay, I'm not going to really do too much out there anymore. But I think it's up to us, man. Charlotte is big, man.
It is.
Charlotte is big. We're talking about spots in really just around the uptown area and the surrounding area. There's so many spaces, man. There's a lot of spaces that I go to that people don't touch. And I'm not really one of those guys that's like, nah, I can't tell you. You know, I look in other spaces. I do location scouting, mm-hmm. video, for photo. I do all of that stuff. I just think people got to get out there instead of going to what's popular and what they see the most of, because then you're just going to start looking like everybody else.
I agree. And I think it kind of goes back to what you said before about having that eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could drive somewhere and I could be like, yo, this is a dope. This could be a dope spot, which is crazy. I think I did that one time. It was in it was on 77. I was driving and it was like the backdrop of the city.
Yeah.
I said, man, if somebody could get right here
yeah.
and just stop their car, and which is crazy. I think I drove by one day mm-hmm. and somebody stopped right there. Yeah. Somebody was in the car with me. I said, see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I said, sometimes you just gotta, and I just want to ask that question, get your opinion, because mm-hmm. I do agree. It's like, you gotta be creative.
You gotta get out there and look around, man. There's so many different spots for different looks. I think it's easy to go to what's been found and created already versus finding something and mm-hmm. creating it.
Bet. You have any other passion projects that you're doing outside of the fall? The fall off?
Yeah, so I'm actually getting ready to start filming my first short since I've completely upgraded all of my equipment. It's called Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short film that's based around a veteran who's being treated for PTSD, and he's learning that his recovery isn't what he thought it was. So it's going to be a smooth little short, probably about 10, 15 minutes long. Three actors, a nice moody thriller,
mm-hmm.
dope script.
You wrote that?
I wrote it. I wrote it, but I do have, I'm not the guy that feels like I have to do everything. You know, I've learned that, especially now that I'm starting to do things the right way in mm-hmm. terms of film. Like, there's just so many parts of the job that, you know, I have people that are actually willing to help because they see that I'm not out here playing any games. So they want to be a part of the process.
All right.
And they know if they come with me that they better not be playing games either. So
mm-hmm.
now I have people that I can count on to fill certain small roles for me on the production side to help me out. But that's the next big project I'm working on. Of course, I have things like, you know, short videos for clients and, music videos and stuff like that in the works. But as far as creative, I would tell people to look for Recovery, because you see a lot of people when they get out there and they film stuff, crime drama is easy. Mm. I think that's why I did The Fall Off. It's just easy. It's what we know the most, you mm-hmm. know, black people in America. And you don't need special effects to do it. You know, we all got guns.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We all already look the part. I hate to say it. We just do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's easy. That's why I think this recovery piece is going to be dope, because you don't see a lot of thrillers, especially coming from, you know, black directors and black cinematographers. So I think it's going to be something different for people that actually see my content.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to catch them off guard, but definitely in a good way.
Is there a genre specifically that you really want to dive into? Because you just said, you know, crime dramas can't be easy.
Right.
So what is there anything else, like comedy or something else that you want yeah. to kind of tackle?
Romantic comedy. Okay. I actually wrote one. It's all about black women.
Mm-hmm.
The main characters are black women. I don't want to give away too much because I'm going to be changing some things on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, for the most part, the synopsis is based around if women reacted or women acted like men in the dating scene and how that dynamic would be.
Sounds like you know what that sounds like? That sounds like a question on a Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah. So,
with 300, yeah. 400 comments, man.
I think that came from, I love Insecure. I thought Insecure was dope. So it's kind of like Insecure / Atlanta. You know, I've kind of taken pieces from both of those and kind of came up with that. So that's probably the genre that I would like to kind of dive in.
Hey, man, listen. People sleep on Atlanta.
Atlanta was dope.
It's a very dope show, man. the barbershop scene is still one of my favorites in Invisible Car. Like, those two, and Tobias. I don't know what it is about Tobias, man. I just laugh every time I see him, man. But I thought
what's my man? The dude that kind of looked like Michael Jackson in The House. I forget.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Was it Mickey something or something?
What was his name, man? But I know you. You're talking about that shit was crazy.
That was creepy. I loved it because it was like a departure from the series,
right?
And it was like, yo, what is this? This is almost like they mm-hmm. went to a horror movie,
right?
So but I thought that was dope.
But I like how he created that one, because what he did was, you would think that you would do that in the beginning of the series, but he went
in the middle.
It was in the middle, and he gave every character their own.
Absolutely.
scene that fits them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a big fan of Lakeith as a person, but he's a hell of an actor. You know, he's a hell of an actor. To me, he's weird. And, you know, he's just weird. So that fit him, you know what I'm saying? So I thought that was pretty dope, too. I like that. Dave is a good show. Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
I had to tell people about that.
It was funny, man. You'd be surprised a lot of people don't know about it, but it's genuinely funny.
It was a good show.
And I think dude can rap.
I think he's nice. You know what I'm saying? He's a funny rapper.
He's a comedy rapper, but
you can't take him serious, but he can spit. Yeah, like he's a straight up freestyler.
He can formulate bars and you know what I'm saying? He has a flow.
Right.
You know, a lot of people can't even do that in making millions. So
I totally agree with you, man. So with shaded media, man, what's your ultimate? It's gonna be a 2-part question. I'm gonna have a last question.
Okay.
But what is your, you know, what is your ultimate goal, you know, for shaded media? You did the videos, you know, you did the photography. Now you jumping out there, getting your right on, you know, and you bringing your vision to life with shaded media. Like, what do you see? Like, what's the vision?
I see a black owned, black operated production company, probably one of the first. I don't know of a lot of them, of any, to be honest with you, but full-on production company, large productions, movies. I love to get to where we're making Hollywood-style flicks or even, you know, lower-budget films that appear on Netflix, appear on, you know, some of your popular streaming services, things like that. That's one side of it. I want to be able to create a platform for other like-minded cameramen, camera women, photographers to get work. It's getting to a point where I can't make every booking. So I'm starting to come up with a team of people that I can call on, like, hey, go ahead and handle this. You know what I'm saying? We'll split the profits. Do your thing. I'll take this percentage. Rest is you. You know, I want to be able to provide something like that as well.
That's a great idea. Because there's a lot of individuals, I think, out there, you know, that are nice, but they haven't been seen yet. You know what I'm saying? So I know you probably paid attention to it.
I think it's that, and I think a lot of people lack the business structure to be taken seriously at certain levels, right?
I agree.
Because I think anybody can get booked for just a standard photo shoot, but if you want, you know, that corporate account, or if you want, you know, CMPD to do, you want to do all of the headshots for the force or something like that, or even something larger than that. You want to do something that's going to be something for an artist or something that'll get you seen by something that could potentially, you know, get you a lot of money. It's just certain ways you have to go about doing things. That's why I have Google reviews because, you know, a corporate client, you know, hey, he'll check out your Instagram, but he's like, okay, I don't know what people are saying about this guy that has actually worked with him. So now you have that. And I think, you know, because the field is so saturated, man, I think that's an easy way to be able to tell if people are legit because reviews, people are going to tell you the truth in the reviews. So I think that helps a lot.
I agree. So with, man, I enjoyed this conversation, man.
Me too, man. It was dope.
I have a bold hope. Man, you'd be surprised at all the questions that I have, but a lot of them come organic, but I want to be sure that I touched on a good scope, you know, of who you are as a person. Right. Because, again, I think I've asked people, is what I always do. Yeah. You know, I always say, yo, you heard of Shaded Media? So I seen the name, and I said, okay. And then they start seeing pictures and stuff. They said, oh, I said, well, you follow this person. So I said, that is exactly who you're looking at. They said, man, that person does some great work. So that's how I always start, you know, that's why I always start things, man. But just kind of hearing everything that you're doing, like I said, I went and looked at it, and I was like, I think what really put the nail in the coffin for me was the Fall Off.
Right.
Was the Fall Off series, man. I said, oh, he legit. Because you see, they try to start it.
Right.
And they'll get stuck in that rut, and they'll get stuck on just, you know, photos. And I can understand how that gets, man. You know, like, look, I know I could do way more than photos. They probably get to the point where it's like, man, they keep asking for the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, because they don't know the vision, but they don't want to veer off of what they're trying to do either, man. So just doing that and just being that creative side of things, man, because I think personally, me, Charlotte's got a shitload of creative people.
Absolutely.
You know, they just need a medium and an avenue to get that out, but they also got to step outside of themselves.
Yeah. And as a creative, you have to, like, if you're doing something and you're getting paid for it, photography, for example, you have to do stuff on the side that's just creative that you don't get paid for. Otherwise, you're going to get burned out.
Yeah.
You know, me, myself, that happens with me. I'll get hired to do, you know, branding shoots, advertising stuff. This is stuff, this is just for hire stuff, you know, mm-hmm. which is cool. You know, this is what I love to do. But creatively, it's not pushing any buttons. It's not right. doing much for me. So on the flip side, you know, I'll, you know, just recently I did a series. I called it the Melanated Series, where I celebrated just black women in their skin, all different shades, right? Mm-hmm. And we got together and I said, hey, we're going to rent a studio. I want you to wear what you want to wear as long as it's black. But I want you to feel good in your skin. And the ladies came with three different outfits and we had fun. I did a video. You know, that was like a creative spite that I needed mm-hmm. for not only for myself, but some right. of the ladies, like, you know, they did it and they felt great about doing it. They felt great about posting the photos. So if you're, you know, you're doing something for pay, you know, you have to absolutely have a creative outlet or it's going to just turn into work.
It makes it, I mean, it just makes it better mm-hmm. as well, you know, because you go in there, you may have something you want to mess with, you know, and be like, okay, I could tweak this a little bit, and you have a canvas to do that with.
Yep.
So I totally agree, man. But per usual, man, you know what I'm saying? Wish I could talk longer.
Yeah, man.
But I can't. So, you know, on this, you know, on this episode, in every episode, I just like to ask our guests, man, what's next? What's next for Shaded Media?
Man, so Recovery's coming soon. That's the short film that's coming up. I'm just out here grinding, man, just working, getting a lot of things done, different mm-hmm. videos, working with new clients, networking, trying to just get, you know, expand, bigger budgets, you know, mm-hmm. it's just expansion, man. It's about progression, things okay. like that. But that's what's next, man. And hopefully taking more steps every time to eventually get into this goal of this big black-owned production company and also being that platform for people to be a part of to get their work out there.
Hey, man, you said it quick and easy, man. But again, appreciate you, man. Again, this is Eric, E-Dub. Eric, whatever you call me, whatever. People call me whatever. E-Dub with the Who Got Next podcast. If you got any questions, any comments, any feedback, good, bad, indifferent, hit me up. I have no problem. The email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And you want to follow me on my Instagram, that's whogotnext_CLT on IG. And my bad, let everybody know where they can find you at, Eugene.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You can find the company's page on Instagram. That's at Shaded Media LLC. You can find my personal director page. I'm not very active on there, but it's G Bennett DP. Mm-hmm. That's G-E-E. Bennett, two N's, two T's, DP. The official site is ShadedMediaLLC.com.
Bet. Hey, that's Shaded ED, because I kind of messed up. And
yeah.
I was like,
yeah. Shaded.
Shaded ED. Hey, please don't mess that up, because he ain't going to get it. Trust me. I know.
Yeah, you'll end up on somewhere else.
Else in the matrix, man, the cloud, man. But like I said, man, y'all make sure y'all hit me up, man. And like I tell everybody all the time, if you out there doing some dope stuff, trust me, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, we're going to talk about what you got going on next. All right? Peace.